Luke chapter 10, let's begin at verse 25. We'll go through 28. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this good day. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings of life. We thank you most of all for salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the word we have in our hands. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak it as only you can give it, and I pray you will touch every person in the sound of my voice. And Lord, suit a blessing individual to our need. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, what a question. You want to know the difference in religion? You want to know whether people are saved or lost? You want to know whether a religion's good or bad? Whether a teaching's good or bad? When you get the answer to this question this morning, you're going to have the answer to an awful lot. How are you going to judge things? And what's really most important? When we start talking about religion, religion is really man's desire to please God. And it comes in many forms. You go over into some of the heathen lands and they're doing their best to please Satan. There are the bad god or evil demons or whatever, and so they sacrifice chickens or they sacrifice their own children or they do an awful lot of different things in order to try to please God. We're in Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 25. The truth of the matter is, the most important thing is salvation when you die. Now, if you don't believe in an afterlife, then religion is simply a matter of morals and ethics. What do I do to please other people? What do I do to be a good person? Do I want my children to go to church so they will have the right kind of morals and attitudes? But when it comes down to it, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? If there is such a thing as life after death and death after death, then, my friend, the most important thing you can ever decide is what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, the lawyer, we got all these lawyer jokes. They're deserved. Believe me, they're deserved. They're deserved more than the Pollock jokes or the blonde jokes or the Texas Aggie jokes. Lawyer jokes are certainly deserved. But lawyers do deal with fine points of the law. They get real picky sometimes, and whole cases are settled on the writing of a single word or something like that. It gets to be real, real picky. Here's a lawyer. And notice, said tempting him. He didn't really want to know the truth. He thought he had the truth. He didn't think Jesus had it. And so he's coming to try to put a test question to him. Okay, Mr. Smart Rabbi. Okay, Mr. Popular Preacher. Okay, Jesus. What should I do to inherit eternal life? He thought he had him. He thought, boy, I'm going to get him. Well, Jesus turned it around on him. You know, sometimes a real good answer is to ask another question. And many times, I have to ask several questions before I know where a fellow's coming from. They come up and just throw a question at you or ask you for a definition or speak to you about a certain thing. You don't know where they're coming from. You may have to ask them, what do you mean by this, or what are you defining that to be, and where are you coming from? Because so many times that makes a whole lot of difference. And so Jesus turned it around to him and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? You're a lawyer. You're an expert. You're the professional. What does the law say? Well, that's turned around pretty good. If you want to know what the law says, call a lawyer. You know, that's about what you got to do. And then you're not sure what the law says, even when the lawyer tells it, till a judge tells you what the law says. You ever sat in a court case? You ever been on a jury? You ever had a judge say, I am the law? I had him tell me, I am the law. It doesn't matter what you thought before you walked into this room. I am the law. Well, that sounds pretty haughty to me, you know. But inside that courtroom, he was right. Inside his courtroom, he was the law. So he's talking to a lawyer. This man's a lawyer. He says, well, now, you want to know about eternal life? You know something about the law? How do you read the law? And hey, doesn't that make a lot of difference in a lot of things? How do you read it? You know, I've read this Bible several ways. How do you read it? I've read it looking for certain answers or looking for proof text or something like that. How do you read it? I read it understanding certain things wrong and then come on it later and man, the whole thing changed when I looked at it in a different light. How do you read it? Do you read it? Well, if you read it, how do you read it? He asked this man, that's a pretty good question. How do you read the law? Okay. So the lawyer, he says to him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. I was pastoring a church, and I was having a meeting with people who were doing visiting, and I was a fairly new pastor at this place, very young man anyway, and I had these people that were going out and visiting for the church, and these are older Christians. And I said, okay, how do you tell people how to be saved when you go visit with them? These are saved people. I tell them to live by the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. Well, you know what I was taught when I went to Sunday school? Live by the Ten Commandments. Live by the Golden Rule. You memorized it. They're trying to make you good little boys and good little girls. And the idea of most religion, you see if this isn't right. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Isn't that what the world thinks? I mean, you got to be a saint like Mother Teresa in order to have a chance to go to heaven, don't you? Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. So if you live by the Ten Commandments and you don't break the law, don't break the rules, you must be doing right. Well, now here's a lawyer. He carries it a step further. He doesn't just go back to the Ten Commandments, which if you go to the Ten Commandments and you claim you fulfilled them all I got to do is take you over to this, and we'll find out just what you're made of in a very short time. He didn't go that way. He understood very well. And the way he answered it is really tremendous. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Let's have a show of hands. Everybody going to heaven because they love God with all their heart. Oh, I've had Christian people say things like that. You don't love God with all your heart. You've never seen a day you love God with all your heart. You know the problem with you? You love yourself. Husbands, you love yourself more than you love your wife. You love yourself more than you love your children. Children, you love yourself more than you love your mother or your father. Boyfriend and girlfriend, I guarantee you love yourself more than you love that one you say you love. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You don't love God near as much as you think you ought to, or you think you do. Just examine yourself for a little while. It won't take you long to find out. Your heart, in fact, the Bible tells you the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What's the matter? Somebody says, oh, he's got a good heart. What they mean is he's a nice guy. What they mean is he might be friendly, or he might be tender, or he might help you in need. But does he have a good heart? No, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. What about our heart? I'm not talking about the blood pump. I'm talking about the seat of your emotions. I'm talking about the way you think and the way you live. What about your heart? You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Well, let's look at another one. How about with all thy soul? The soul is really your personality. It's you. What makes you? It's not your body. It's not how much hair you got on your head. It's not the kind of smile you have. It's not how much money you got. It's you. The you that's peculiar to you. Your soul. Love the Lord with all your soul. Well, that'd be a wonderful thing. It'd be nice if you could do it. You ought to do it. That's what the law demands. The guy's telling you the truth. You know what the law demands for you to do? The law demands for you to love God with all your heart. And the law demands for you to love God with all your soul. You read the law, and you're going to find out that God expects perfection. God expects you to be right. All your soul? How about all thy strength? Now, that wife of mine is trying to kill me. She says she's trying to work me to keep me alive, but I'm not too sure about that. I think she thinks I still got an insurance policy worth a lot of money. I don't. But I gave it up a long time ago because if I was worth a lot of money, I'd be worth more dead probably than I am alive. But at any rate, she gets me out here working. You know what I know? I don't have the strength I had 5 years ago. I don't have the strength I had 25 years ago. No. I'm sorry. Diabetes, old age, stupidity, whatever. Something has happened to me. If I had to work all day at a regular job, labor, to live, I'd starve. Nobody would hire me after the first day. They'd take one real good look at what I could do and say, he's not worth but 2 hours. That's about all I'm worth now, about 2 hours. You want to pay me all day for 2 hours? Have at it. I'll work for you. All your strength. Every once in a while, I just can't sing anymore. I wish I could. I can get about one stanza out. Sometimes you'll be singing real lackadaisical, sort of lazy, like you don't mean it and whatever. And I want to just stand up and lead you and make you sing. But I can't do it. All your strength? How much strength do you got? I was an awful strong man for a lot of years. I don't like losing my strength. Never thought I'd lose my energy. But I have. I've lost energy and lost strength. I guess it's called old age. What the next stage is, it's death. But that's not so bad for a Christian, see? Love God with all your strength. Some of you can't muster the energy to give him a part of one day in seven. Some of you cannot muster the strength to give him one-tenth of what God has given you. Even one-tenth, not more than that. Some of you cannot muster enough energy to correct your children. It's just too much trouble. Some of you cannot muster enough energy to talk to anybody about God or to try to please God. Some of you cannot muster enough energy to even read the Bible to find out what He says about anything. Love God with all your strength. That's sort of funny, if it weren't pitiful. Because you see, you read the law. God deserves to be loved with all your strength. He does. And when you don't do it, you're guilty. The lawyer's got it right. He's saying, how do you read the law? Read the law. How do you read the law? When you read the law, you're going to find out you're guilty. All your strength. And with all thy mind. Have you ever tried to keep your mind or anything? I was supposed to have a little bit of willpower in my life. I've done a lot of studies. I got some college degrees. Got a lot of hours. Read a lot of books. I've been able to do quite a few things in my life. Man, it's hard to keep this mind on one thing. Just keep it on God for a little while. You say, oh, I keep my mind on God. You're a liar. You're just a bold-faced liar. You're deceiving yourself. You're like Pinocchio. Your nose is just growing by the minute. With all your mind, God has filled my mind many times. I am thankful for what's in my mind. I'm thankful for the knowledge of the Bible I got when I was a young Christian. I'm thankful that I've been studying all this time, still studying it. I'm thankful for the blessings and the comfort that it brings me. But all my mind, in the time I'm preaching to you, my mind, while it's listening to what I preach to you, is thinking about something else over here too. I'm thinking about how that person's dressed. I'm thinking about what they're talking about over there. I'm thinking about, you know. Doesn't your mind go two or three ways at the same time? How do you control that thing? I can be reading a book and my mind's on something else while I'm reading the book, and I can even talk to you too. My wife's so good at a typewriter, she can just sit down and prrrr. I don't know what's going through her mind, but boy, the words keep going good right out on that typewriter. Had a hard time getting her on a computer. She was so good with a typewriter. She didn't need a computer. She likes it now. Love God with all your mind. You know, that's right. God deserves to be loved with all your mind. That's true. God deserves that. How do you read the law? Lawyer, how do you read the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, yeah, I know you love me like you love you. You know how I know? The last new car you bought for me. Yeah, that's how I know. Sure I know. You know how you know I love you so much? The last new car I bought for you. Tighten your seatbelt. It ain't happening, is it? I'm going to take a bunch of my family out to eat for lunch, but I'm not taking you. I'm not even inviting you. In fact, I probably got too much family for us to enjoy everybody. When you get a family as big as mine, man, it's hard just to get to talk to everybody while you're eating, you know. I don't love you, and you're my very close neighbor. I ought to. I'll tell you it's right for me to love my neighbor as myself. But I'm also telling you I fail to do it. I'll tell you something else. I've been judging people for about 42 years, and in my judging and thinking and reasoning and complying and not coming back and answering and whatever, my interaction with people, I've met some really sweet people. I've met some very good people. But I have not met one yet that loved his neighbor as much as he loved himself. And yet that's right. Now notice what Jesus said to the lawyer. You've answered right. This do and you'll live. Ooh. Now wait a minute. What if I do less? Will I still live? No. You break the law in one point, it's like you're guilty of all of it. You've never taken the name of the Lord your God in vain. You've just committed adultery. You're a lawbreaker. Stone him. You wouldn't think of committing adultery. You're just a thief. Stone him. I've never committed adultery. I've just coveted my neighbor's land, house, car, tractor, dog. Stone him. You're going to lift up the law to me as a standard for me to live for righteousness? You're making a big mistake. You're making a big mistake. If you could do it, you can live that way. Jesus did. Who's the one man who ever fulfilled the law? One man. Jesus Christ. He did it. He lived. How did you get salvation? Somebody fulfilled the law. Amen. But you haven't done it in your most zealous days, and you're sure not doing it now. I've had some real zealous days. I've been a zealot. I've sacrificed some things, man. I've done some things. Some of the things I did, I backed off of and said, you know, that didn't make a whole lot of sense after a while, you know. And I got back to being more corrupt like the rest of you. But you know what? It's good to be zealous. But in your most zealous days, you're still found a sinner. He said, you've answered right. This doing thou shalt live. Now the law, the thing's back on the lawyer. Now he says, who is my neighbor? And we'll get to that in a minute because he goes down to the tremendous story of the Good Samaritan. But I want to stop here a minute and let's hang with the law, okay? We find out this lawyer wants to know, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, how do you interpret the law? How do you see it? What does the law say? How do you read it? He says, you got to love God with all your mind, your soul, your strength, your everything. And then love your neighbors yourself. Jesus said, you've answered right. This do and thou shalt live. Now the lawyer automatically knew, if he had any sense at all, he didn't fulfill what he just said. Now there are a lot of people out there with not much sense. Because I have heard enough preaching and teaching in my lifetime on do good and go to heaven. I don't know what you've been raised in. Many of you, this may be your total experience of a Christian church. But I'll tell you what I've heard. I've heard people talking about living by the golden rule. I've heard people talking about doing good to your neighbor. I've heard people by completing the law, living by the law. I have even heard people tell me they loved God with all their heart, mind, soul, strength. They've told me that. Somebody's been fooled by something. Somebody's not reading the law very clearly. Somebody does not understand their own heart. They've been deceived by their own heart. You are not that good, and you don't know anybody that's good. I had a good father and a good mother. They were good people. I'd stack them up against anybody's family. I never was ashamed of my family. We were poor folks. Lived on the south side of San Antonio. Graduated from the great Burbank High School. Big time. I mean, we're in high society. You know better than that, don't you? Some of you might not know. We were poor people. My folks were poor people. But they're some of the best people I've ever come across. I did not know how rich I was in love and family and home and blessing. I did not understand it because I thought everybody else's family was like mine. But I've been around long enough to know everybody's family wasn't like mine. Kids didn't know they were loved in some of those families. Kids weren't helped like they were in my family. Why? They just didn't have the same thing. But do you know what my parents were? Sinners. My daddy didn't cuss on a regular basis. He didn't drink. He was a teetotaler. He smoked cigarettes or pipe. But I've heard him cuss. Somebody made him mad. My daddy was a very peaceful man. A man with reason. Do his best. Let's talk it out. Let's reason this out. But I've seen him mad enough to kill. The best men you find have days and occasions when they're big time sinners. Abraham's a sinner. Read it in the Bible. David's a sinner. Samson's a sinner. Read it in the Bible. Peter's a sinner. Paul's a sinner. If you have to keep the whole law and not offend in one point, the only person to go to heaven is Jesus Christ. There hadn't been another one yet. If you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, you might as well give up and go fishing. You will never make it. You've already lost it. You're 10 years old now. It's already gone. You're 35 or 40. You're not even in the running. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Paul answered this problem. Here's Galatians. Look at chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Justified is the legal term that we would use for salvation. You've been made just. The law has come down. And when you were tried by the law, you were found just, not guilty. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Let's suppose you repented today and you decided to keep the law the rest of your life. What would it do for your sins of the past? What would handle them? Let's suppose you repented as I did at 21. Just like a couple of months, being 21 years old, when I repented and got saved. Well, what would take care of all of my sins up to 21? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Knowing this, Paul said. This is a foundation truth of Christianity. It's misunderstood by many Christians. It's misunderstood by many so-called Christian churches. It is misunderstood by doctrinal idiots that write papers and books and are on television. It's misunderstood. It's misrepresented. It is mispreached. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The law is good. I'm not saying the law is bad. Yes, you ought to live by the law as much as you can, every time you can. That's the very best thing for you, the very best thing for God, the very best thing for society. But nobody fulfills it completely. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's a pretty strong statement. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified? What does no mean to you? Asked a lady on the phone the other day what it meant to her. Now, look at verse 21, same chapter 2. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ did not die to give you an example. No, I'm sorry. He died to pay your debt. You can't die and pay anybody else's debt. There might be some people gracious enough to die for you. It's happened in war. The stories are literally true of a hand grenade dropping in and one man dropping on that hand grenade and letting himself be blown up to save his friend. That's happened time and time again. There are some absolute brave people. There are some people that will sacrifice themselves. But even if you did, you could only die for yourself. You couldn't save anybody else with what you did. But you see what Christ did? He did and could save anybody that would believe in Him. I do not frustrate the grace of God. You see, if you're trying to justify yourself by your works of the law, you're frustrating God's grace. Do you understand grace? Grace is the favor, the blessing, the gift that God gives you when you don't deserve it, when you have no merit for it whatsoever. That's grace. He said, if I am trying to justify myself by keeping the law, I am frustrating the grace of God. Think about it. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you could possibly be saved by being righteous by the law, Jesus Christ would have never went to the cross of Calvary. Never. Go to the next chapter. Galatians, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there's that same statement by Paul, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there was a could have been righteousness by the law, then that's the way it had been. But that if means it's a condition contrary to fact. But the Scripture, verse 22, hath concluded all under sin. How did it do that? By the law. You read the law, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You say, I'm guilty. Read the law, says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus says, if you look on a woman to lust after in your heart, you've committed adultery with her already. And you say, guilty. Oh, there are times I've thought about it, dreamed about it, relished in it. After I first got saved, I actually prayed that God would make a sergeant that was giving me trouble lose his temper enough to hit me so I could kill him. I'd just gotten saved. And that sorry rascal was giving me fits because I was trying to win him to the Lord, and he made me hate him. I never hated anybody until I got saved. And then I hated a man. I hated that man. And I would pray to the merciful God in heaven to let him lose his temper so that he'd hit me first and I'd clean his plow. And I never had a doubt I could clean his plow. And then I repented of that, and God took away my ulcers. You get yourself all sorts of trouble with all the things you do. Woo! You can get yourself in trouble. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Do you understand that most of the religion out there today, most of the writers of religious books out there today, do not understand this truth and apply it to their writing? There are fundamental Christians, yes. And there's some of them scattered all across the world in many denominations that have understood this truth. Martin Luther understood it and caused the great disruption. Others have understood it. But many of the churches that are even started by Luther and Wesley and others, and plenty of them around the world, do not understand this truth. They're still going around preaching law, trying to make people live by the law, and you put yourself under the law, you can't fulfill it. I think it's good that people should not commit adultery, and that make the Lord God love him with all our heart. That's all good. Love your neighbors. That's good. You ought to strive for that. But if you're trying to do that to get salvation, you've missed the boat. You're completely out in left field. You're not even in the ballpark. Now look at verse 24. The Scripture hath concluded all in under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus might be given to them that believe. Now look at verse 24. Wherefore, that's the conclusion. You've been here any time at all. I've told you that time and again. You see a therefore and a wherefore. Look at the verses before and behind. We're coming to a conclusion. Wherefore? What's the conclusion? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Listen to this verse. Tremendous verse. It's a pivotal verse. What is the law for, Paul? Teach us. The law is your teacher. How does the law your teacher? How is the law your teacher? What's the teacher do for you? I was a teacher for a number of years. I'm still teaching the Bible, so I guess I'm still a teacher. What's your teacher do for you? He gives you enlightenment. He shows you the way to do things. He shows you an easier way. He shows you an answer. He shows you how to find an answer. What does the law do? It's my schoolmaster. I come to the place that I want to change my life. So I find out what is right. Well, the law is right. And by the way, if there is no Bible, is no God, is no heaven, is no hell, and the law really isn't of God, then there is no right. Do anything you want to do. Kill, murder, maim, steal, lie. Do anything you want to do. Whatever you can get away with, as long as you can get away with it. Ah, but there is an eternity. There is a heaven and hell. And this is right because God said it was right. If God had said something else were right, that'd have been right. God's what makes right. The law was our schoolmaster. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to enroll in the school of the law. Teach me, law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image to bow down to it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And on and on and on. And I say, yeah, but I haven't done that. I'm in trouble. I read that law, and I said, I'm in trouble. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I said, I'm in trouble. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's car. I'm in trouble. Thou shalt not steal thy neighbor's gas. I'm in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? You read the law, what will the law tell you? You have failed it. You read the law and be like that young ruler that came in and I've kept all these things from my youth up. Jesus says, hit him right on the button. Sell what you got. Uh-oh. Maybe you haven't read the fine points. Maybe you got some covetousness down there. Maybe you love money more than you love God or salvation. Schoolmaster, I come up trying to live by the law. I decide, well, I'm going to do this. Yes, sir. I'm going to change my life. I am going to do it. And I had a lot of willpower as a young person, young man. But you know, it wasn't very long. It wasn't very long. And you know what I've learned? I've learned you make yourself a law. Pick anyone. Pick the easiest one you want to pick. Make yourself an easy law. And watch yourself break it. Amen or oh me? I'm a diabetic. I shouldn't eat as much as I eat. I shouldn't eat the things that I do eat. Can you tell? Underneath here, there is a svelte, muscular, handsome man. Covered in a protective layer of fat. I have been fasting at times and walk by the kitchen cabinet and see stale toast. Stale toast. No jelly, nothing on it, absolutely worthless, and I've broken my fast and eaten stale bread I didn't even like when it was fresh. Make yourself a law. I tell you what, why don't you join up one of these health clubs at about $25 a month? Join up. Get yourself in it. Boy, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Man, this is the greatest health club in town. They hire these beautiful models to come in there and work out. Make you think when you work out, you'll look like them. It's all a joke. Those models don't even work out. They're that way naturally. They were born that way. That isn't some super fat girl that had pits all over her face that really worked out a long time. That ain't what happened. That's not some skinny little rail that didn't have a body that went in there and built that body up. No, that ain't what happened. It's a sucker job. But By the way, you can go in there and work out and you can do beautiful. I wonder, in this room, just this morning, I wonder in this room, how many of you have ever gone on one of those things and stuck with it? Tie bows real good. Let's go jump and beat. Boy, let's be in shape and let's karate kick until you lose an ankle. What happens when you lose an ankle? Hey, let's lift weights. Let's lift weights. Uh-oh. Now I'm walking around like this for about 3 weeks and I'm all out of shape again. I'm still paying my $25 because I signed up for a year or 2 years or 3 years. Some of you are really energetic, you know. Do you understand? You don't keep any law. Only reason why you drive anywhere close to speed limit is there are policemen. You know, I saw this cartoon one time. I thought it was lovely. I still think it's so. These two cops are driving 45 miles an hour down a highway that's 70 miles an hour. And they've got about 40 cars behind them. And they're saying, which one will have the guts to pass us? Wonder when one of them will have the guts to pass us. You know, the best speed control is a policeman in your rearview mirror. It's amazing how much better you drive. The law was my schoolmaster. I started looking at myself and I started looking at the law. And you know what I found? I found I had never kept the law. And the more I thought about it, every time I looked at that law, it said weak, willful, selfish, sinner, failure, hell deserving. And then I said, what am I going to do? I'm out and done. I'm not good. I can't be good. I'll never be that good. Ah, but there's an old story about a Savior who was virgin born, who lived a perfect life, who fulfilled the law perfectly. Oh, he was tempted in all points like I was, but he never failed. He was tempted to cuss like I cussed, but he never cussed. He was tempted by lust, but he never succumbed to it. And he went to the cross of Calvary voluntarily. And on the cross of Calvary, God says he was made to be sin. Not he just paid for it. He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's a great transaction. It's a tremendous transaction. He takes all my sins. I get all his righteousness. You go into heaven any other way, you never make it. You may be the best person in your church. You may be the finest, strongest willed, serving Christian around. But if you're going to heaven by any type of keeping the law, you are frustrating the grace of God. You are bypassing the only salvation God has ever given. And you have completely misinterpreted the scriptures by not reading them right because you didn't have enough of them. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And once I come to Christ, I'm saved by simple faith. Great faith in a very poor bridge will drop you in the river. Great faith, all faith, more faith than anybody else has in a poor bridge will drop you in the river. But a very little faith, just a small amount of faith, just enough faith to get you on a strong bridge will carry you safely over. Your keeping the law by works is a very flimsy thing. You ought to know that about yourself. Don't you know that about yourself, buddy? Are you still walking around so proud? I can do it, 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 I can do it. Well, you don't know yourself very well. Let's sit down and talk for a little while. Give me 30 minutes or an hour. We'll see how good you really are. You're not that good. Your mother wasn't that good. Your daddy wasn't that good. Your sweet grandmother wasn't that good. Your little baby isn't that good. I didn't know a whole lot. I was raised in Sunday school. I memorized the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the Golden Rule. I went to Sunday school till I was big enough, about 12 years old, to start running on my own and whatever. I don't know how much I remembered, how much I forgot, but I remember this. I remembered I'd been told that God was a merciful God and that He would hear a repentant sinner. That was about the extent of my faith. I believed in heaven and hell. I did not believe in evolution. They never convinced me on evolution. I believe there had to be a God. I believed in the back of my head, down deep in my mind, that God was a merciful God and that He would hear a repentant sinner. And I was undone. I was absolutely undone. I had no place to go. I could not run to the law. I could not run to righteousness. I could not run to my strong willpower. Lord, if you don't save me, there's no hope for me. I don't see any other way. And I fell on my knees and called on God. And I confessed my sin for hours. And I said, Lord, I've heard that you're a merciful God. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Save my soul and change my life. And he did it. Best day of my life. Hey, I was glad when I married Verlene. She's a lovely gal. She was the cat's meow, the coolest kid in the Alamo City. Woo! Wow! I was tickled pink to get her. Figured she was lucky to have me. In my humble opinion. But the best day of my life was the day I got saved. The day when the law forced me to see myself as a wicked sinner that needed a Savior. And I simply, by simple faith, very little bitty bit of faith, I didn't believe anything near all I believe now. I didn't know near what I know now. But a little bit of faith in a merciful God who will save a repentant sinner. If you haven't done it, I'd advise you to give up all hope of your religion. There isn't a church made. There's not a baptismal fount made. There isn't a work made. There is not a priest or preacher or rabbi that can save your soul or remove one sin. Not a one. The only one that can do it is Jesus. Amen. He asked that young man, why are you calling me good? Well, he could have answered, because you're God, but he didn't. He made the wrong answer. Jesus can. The only salvation there is by faith in what Jesus Christ has done. You accepting that as yours. If you haven't done that, you do it. And Christian friend, get out of the lines of confusion in the world and get yourself clear. You don't keep the law for salvation. I hope you live as much by the law as you possibly can. I really do. The more you live by the law, the closer you live to the law, the happier life's going to be. Better your family, better your children. Everything's going to be better for you. God didn't make those rules because He wanted to be mean to you. He made them because they're right. Our problem is we are naturally wrong. We're wrong-headed, we're wrong-thinking, we're wrong-willed. And you need to repent and call upon Jesus. Amen.